From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Monday, June 5th. Coming up, we'll hear about the challenges of getting kids with disabilities the care they need. That story from Peter Medlin in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Danville held its very first annual LGBTQ Pride Fest on Saturday. About 1,000 people gathered around Temple Plaza, where they enjoyed a DJ, food trucks, and a variety of booths. Bonnie Morrow is with the Vermilion County Pride Coalition. She says the event is meant to represent all kinds of people.
Queerness crosses lines of economic status, race, gender, and so we want to help build those bridges as well and build this community and make people feel safe.
Morrow says while discrimination has not been eradicated, there is more support coming from the city than people realize. She says the VC Pride Coalition has more plans for Pride in Danville's future. Allerton Park kicked off its yearly concert series, starting with an LGBTQ Pride concert on Saturday. The first concert of the series has traditionally been called Love for All. But senior event coordinator Olivia Bunting says this is the first year that it's been a full-fledged Pride event. Bunting says the staff wants to honor the wishes of Robert Allerton while also making the park a more inclusive environment.
Robert's intention was to invite people who appreciate nature and appreciate art and give them a spot to relax and call their home for just a little while. We're trying to make that more apparent to the queer community.
Illinois Public Media is a co-sponsor of the Allerton Concert Series. More Pride events are scheduled throughout June in Tuscola and Champaign-Urbana. For a list, visit illinoisnewsroom.org. State lawmakers failed to get a new gun control measure passed during the recently closed spring session. The bill would strengthen laws that allow gun confiscation against those facing orders of protection. It would also set up a task force to study whether there should be insurance policies for gun ownership. Republican State Senator Tom Bennett says he believes the intent is to restrict gun ownership.
This seems like a real potential for keeping people from being able to have that, depending on the cost and all sorts of things. But it's like another restriction, another limitation that's impacting the Second Amendment.
Advocates for domestic violence victims support the bill. It passed in the House, but did not get a vote in the Senate. The measure could be brought back during the fall veto session. Illinois residents who identify as Middle Eastern or North African may soon have a different box to check under race. Mawa Iqbal has more.
State lawmakers passed a bill that would add the category Middle Eastern or North African on government forms. This would apply to any state agency compiling racial and ethnic data for programs and funding. Basma Elfman is with the nonprofit Arab American Family Services in suburban Worth. She says many people will just mark their race as white or other.
And sometimes we struggle with receiving funding because we are technically not counted as a minority in need.
Her organization offers a range of services, from citizenship classes for immigrants to counseling for domestic violence victims. The bill, which passed unanimously, awaits the governor's signature. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, some young children with disabilities in Illinois get the care they need, but that's not always the case. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the fourth season of the Great Performances series, Now Hear This, celebrated violinist and conductor Scott Yu explores the secret history of some of the world's finest music. In the new season, Yu travels to Buenos Aires, Brooklyn, Granada, and Leipzig to investigate the mystery and histories of works by Schumann, Albéniz, Andy Akiho, and more. Learn how you can watch this and other great performances as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. The new Illinois state budget includes $250 million for early childhood programs. Some of that will support early intervention services for Illinois' youngest children with disabilities. Peter Medlin reports on why it's so challenging for families to get their kids with disabilities the care they need.
A few years ago, Roma Gardner and her baby moved to DeKalb all the way from Ghana in West Africa. As she was settling in, Roma began to notice some delays with her son Luke, who was a year old, but she couldn't quite put her finger on it. He had met all the developmental milestones up to that point. One day at the library, a woman from 4C, Community Coordinated Childcare, handed Gardner a pamphlet. And when she called, they told her about their free developmental screenings.
They came in with their therapist, they screened him, they realized he had a speech delay, he had some occupational therapy needs, fine motor delay.
Her son needed three early intervention services, developmental, speech, and occupational therapy. She had no idea. She didn't even know these programs existed. At her income level, it was free, and it happened completely by chance.
Seeing so much progress. When we started, he was not even saying up to two words. Now he's saying so many words, all his colors, counting to 20, alphabets, and speaking without prompts. He's signing words that are really powerful and important. He's more regulated.
Early childhood professionals call that a success, but that's not always the story in Illinois.
There has been, for quite some time, not enough providers to take care of all the services that are required for families throughout the state.
That's Angela Hodges. She's the program manager of Child and Family Connections number 3 in Northern Illinois. She supervises early intervention case managers and, because of staffing shortages, has a full caseload herself. In 6 counties, all early intervention referrals run through her office. So a parent or pediatrician notices a developmental delay, sends it to Hodges, who helps the family connect with a therapist. Hodges' agency serves just over 500 Northern Illinois families, mostly in DeKalb County. And there are 16 early intervention services they can provide, with speech therapy being the most common. And the law states that within 30 days of writing a family plan, deciding which services they need, children should begin receiving services.
Maybe 10% are waiting more than 45 days, up to, I think in some areas, probably higher.
There are tens of thousands of kids statewide receiving services, and sometimes it can even take months to assess whether they need early intervention at all. Hodges says they serve more kids now than pre-pandemic, but with less staff. It's why waitlists have returned over the past 9 months. And even if they can line up a therapist for a family, it might not be convenient. A lot of early interventions happen in a child's home, but sometimes it's not possible. Hodges says she knows in Bureau County there are families who have to drive an hour to Peoria twice a week to receive services for their kids. Otherwise, since the pandemic, they can offer families a virtual therapy option. Samantha McDavid is the regional council manager for Birth to Five Illinois' DeKalb County region.
There are some therapies, like speech especially, that over a screen are just never going to be as effective.
Many families aren't interested in virtual therapy. Dan Coffey is the president and CEO of Service Inc. It's a nonprofit that runs another Child and Family Connections in Northern Illinois. And he says they have a lot of families who refuse video therapies, but because they're technically turning down services, they're no longer on a wait list. Some kids get early intervention services at a daycare, too. Agnieszka Maroney is a pediatric occupational therapist.
Playing is the major occupation for kids.
She's been going into homes providing early intervention for the past 8 years in the Chicago suburbs.
The nice thing about being in the homes versus other settings is I see the setup of their crib. I see their setup of their high chair at the table, right? So like if we're talking about sleeping, I'm there. I can see it. I can problem solve with the bed.
Finding daycare is really hard, especially for families of kids with disabilities. And some daycare centers don't allow therapists, so the kid just doesn't get therapy at all. Some let her in, but with limited space. And Maroney says kids with disabilities essentially get kicked out of some daycares because the centers realize they don't have the staff to support them. And after years of hearing those stories, she decided to start her own daycare for kids with disabilities. Early intervention services aren't always free either, like they were for Roma Gardner and her son. Hodges says family fees were paused during the pandemic, but are likely to return this summer. Depending on the family income, it could cost up to $200 a month, plus the cost of daycare. But despite the complexities, program manager Angela Hodges says parents and caregivers are the experts on their kids, and if they feel like something isn't developing appropriately, to trust their gut. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny and hazy with a high of 84 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Eric Stock, Mawa Iqbal, Peter Medlin, and me, Owen Henderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.